So clearly there was this need for great software. And that's why we started. We started because we think that pathology deserves great software. The pathologists and scientists who are on the front lines of fighting big diseases like cancer deserve the best. I think in many ways, Silicon Valley had kind of ignored pathology. And yet it's so central to everything that we do in medicine. So, you know, that's just a little bit about why we started the company. But at the end of the day, you know, it was my co-founders and I who saw this problem, saw that there was a better way of doing this, and just started building.
Welcome to the People of Pathology podcast. I'm Dennis Strank. On this podcast, we explore pathology, laboratory medicine, forensic science, and how to have a learning mentality. You may have seen the press release about the FDA 510K clearance of Concentric APDX. And maybe you thought, like I did, okay, what is 510K clearance anyway? David West from PROSHA is here today to shed some light on this milestone. What does this mean for PROSHA? What does this mean for digital pathology as a whole? Let's find out more from David West. So first of all, David, thanks for coming back on the podcast. It's been, I think, almost a year and a half since the last time you were here. It was towards the end of 2022, I believe. And the big reason we're here, PROSHA recently received 510K clearance for Concentric APDX.
Yeah.
And before we get into applications of that and what that kind of means, I'd like to talk about 510K clearance specifically, because before I started reading about this, I'd never heard of this.
Yeah.
So can you kind of explain what is it and why is it important to have it?
Yeah. You know, 510K clearance is FDA clearance that allows us to sell our software into the US market. And the way that the FDA works and other regulatory agencies are like this is there's different kinds of submissions that you can do, and some are for novel devices, and some, in fact, most are for devices that have a predicate. And that's what our 510K clearance, that's what the 510K aspect of that clearance means. There have been digital pathology systems on the market since the first whole slide imaging end-to-end system was cleared by the FDA in 2017, which was the Philips IntelliSite pathology system. The scanner, the viewer, and the monitor were all part of that. And what was cleared was APDX, Concentric APDX, which is our software platform, a viewer for all intents and purposes.
So the reason you want to have this then as a company is so that you can sell it in the US market? Is it hard?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we've been fortunate to be able to get our software into many laboratories globally over the last 18 months between our work in Europe on the heels of our IVDR clearance. We were the first company to receive IVDR clearance under the new European regulation about a year and a half ago, as well as in the US to certain laboratories under during COVID, during the public health emergency, where enforcement discretion, you know, kind of prompted the FDA to say, we need to get this technology to as many laboratories as possible, especially with many laboratories not allowing pathologists to come and read slides at the same time. We wanted to limit the transmission of disease. But that enforcement discretion period ended. And for us as a company, this is a kind of our first FDA 510K clearance that really lets us market this product for diagnostic use in the US market.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about what the process was like to get this clearance and kind of how long it takes to do it?
You know, I will say for outsiders, I think anyone who's kind of been a medical device company will appreciate that the FDA is very, very rigorous. And I think for pathology in particular, it's been an area of medical device technology that's taken a lot of time for industry and regulation to match up, if you will. I think it took a while for the first clearance of any one of these scanners in the first place to get cleared. I mean, digital pathology had been around for decades, really, until that first clearance happened in 2017. But really, ever since then, there's, you know, the FDA expects a ton of rigor around any regulatory cleared products, both in terms of how we develop those products and in terms of how we validate the safety and efficacy of those products. So it required us really to, you know, mature our company from top to bottom, which we started doing for our entry into the European diagnostic market about a year and a half ago. That helped us get our IVDR clearance. It really helped us mature our products and our processes in general. But ultimately, you know, we had to, in order to demonstrate the safety and efficacy of our software, medical device software, we had to do a clinical study and submit that data to the FDA. So this is a many years long process that costs a lot of money. I sometimes get a pit in my stomach when I think about how much money it costs to get these medical devices through. But it's for good reason, because at the end of the day, we have patients on the other side of this technology who are counting on really well-validated, high-quality technology built by companies that are up to the task of bringing a medical device to market. And Proja had been in digital pathology for a number of years, selling in a research product into, you know, mostly academic and life sciences organizations. We're trusted by 14 of the top 20 pharma companies, many leading contract research organizations, kind of household names in life sciences. And we built out this market leadership position here with our Concentric for Research platform. But, you know, to become a medical device diagnostics company is kind of a different ballgame. And it's one that we're really excited about, because it is the manifestation of our vision and, frankly, the reason why we started this company. We started this company because we want to impact patients and in the most direct way possible. You know, for me, my mom is a cancer survivor, and that's my why. I love the technology, but I also love the fact that this is technology that can really do good for the world. And in healthcare, in order to really, you know, bring that mission alive, it means doing things like getting this 510K clearance and, you know, stepping up to the task of becoming a medical device company.
You mentioned the clinical study that you went through for this, and let's talk about that for a little bit. The clinical study for this showed that, relative to ground truth data, the difference in major discordance rates for slides read digitally and for slides read using the microscope was negative 0.1%. Did you expect this kind of result?
Yeah, this was, you know, I think these clinical study results were testament to a lot of the rigor and, frankly, experience that we've had in this market over the past, you know, getting into the diagnostics market about a year and a half, two years ago. And, you know, in a sense, it was, you know, I think having had that experience, I'll say we were very happy with the results, and we have a very high bar. It was, you know, relative to predicate devices, very, very strong. And I think that's also testament to the rigor of the clinical study and the clinical study, you know, participants and the strength of the quality and engineering that went into the products and how we train our pathologists on that product.
You know, you were talking about the IVDR clearance in Europe a little bit ago. Is it the IVDR and the FDA clearance, are they similar process?
No, they're a little bit, actually,
unexpected.
Yeah, quite different processes, but they've become more similar over time. And I think one of the things that's, like, you know, for people outside of healthcare and medical device are often surprised to hear, at least a few years ago, that the FDA has historically been kind of the higher bar from a medical device standpoint. It's harder to pass through the filter of the FDA than it was to get IVDD clearance until this new IVDR regulation came out. And that new IVDR regulation kind of brought European regulations more in line with the US regulations, which for our kind of part of our type of medical device and as it's relevant to digital pathology, again, it's kind of the higher bar. So they're becoming more similar, but the FDA required us to do a both clinical study and human factors evaluation that was extremely, extremely rigorous. I think over time, you know, we'll probably see the European regulations come more in line with US regulations.
Okay, that makes sense. I'm curious about the reaction at ProSha when this 510K clearance was announced. And I recently watched the Steve Jobs movie with Ashton Kutcher. And it, you know, at the beginning when he announces the iPod and everybody cheers. I mean, was it like that?
You know, it kind of was. You talked about Steve Jobs, and one of the things I always love about Apple, I think about the, you know, the first Macs. Every engineer who worked on that Mac would physically sign. I guess there was some sort of, you know, some kind of piece of metal or something inside of that they'd physically sign, and you know, their signature was on that product. And I think in many ways, the team that built Concentric APDX, was they didn't maybe physically sign something, but the level of investment and commitment that the team who built that product was incredible. They had such ownership in that and put their blood, sweat, and tears in making sure that we had a medical device software product that was fit for diagnostic use, that they would trust with, you know, themselves or their family being on the other side of that as a patient. And that was, I mean, it was years of really, really hard work, late nights, long weekends. And I give the team so much credit for that. You know, as a startup and a growing company, there's times when you got to kind of buckle down and really make some magic happen. And they made some magic happen to get that clearance. And yeah, I think there was a lot of excitement. There was a lot of kind of jumps for joy. There were a lot of tears of joy as well. I won't out any of my colleagues, but there were a lot of tears for joy after a big process. And not just because it was so much hard work that went into it, but because I think it's really just the beginning for us as in the next phase of our business as a true medical device company. It's the next phase of our business closer to our mission to be able to impact patients and get our software to more laboratories and more pathologists. I'll tell you, the team that built this product they're engineers, they're former, you know, pathologists, pathology assistants, current pathologists. And they're people that really, really understand what it's like to work in the laboratory and what it takes in order to get software products that are innovative software products and high quality software products to those pathologists and the people that work in the laboratories that are ultimately impacting patients. So I think there's an empathy for the people that get to use Concentric APDX and our other products that got them really excited. So we did this like all hands afterwards, and we stitched together all these videos of people's reactions, and we cut out some of the tears because we didn't want to embarrass too many of those Protians. Mm. But yeah, it was some combination of ecstatic and happy tears.
Okay, that's cool. Now, what about for you personally? You're one of the founders of ProSha, which I guess has been almost 10 years now. And you mentioned earlier your mom's a cancer survivor. How satisfying is this for you personally after all this
time? It's super satisfying. You know, when I started this company, ProSha started as a humble project with a big vision. And it started out of this combination of excitement around what this data can do for medicine, what pathology as a data-driven discipline can do for pathologists, for patients, and for the broader kind of medical research community. It also started out of frustration with the landscape of technology. When I mean frustration, I think, you know, in many ways, software, when we started in this space, was an afterthought. It was like, okay, you got to view the images, but a lot of the investment was going into the scanners. And that was what was needed at the time of the market, right? We needed to have high quality scanners, high throughput scanners, in order to make it both clinically feasible and economically viable to adopt this technology. But this software, which is where the pathologists spend all their time, was totally an afterthought. And I worked with, I was at Johns Hopkins. I was working in a very academic research setting. And I was fascinated by the idea that we can use computer vision and machine learning to do things like predict cancer outcomes. We were doing prostate cancer research with these images and this image data. And we had some really cool data sets that we were working with. And there were some amazing publications with some of my colleagues and mentors at Hopkins. But ultimately, it's like, you know, the question that I was asking when starting this company is, how do we go beyond writing a nice publication on a toy data set? How do we really get this into mainstream adoption? And why is it that, you know, when we were working with colleagues at maybe MD Anderson or Case Western or Rutgers, we were physically shipping hard drives to those collaborators? I mean, what's the point of going digital when you're still physically shipping this data? So clearly there was this need for great software, and that's why we started. We started because we think that pathology deserves great software. The pathologists and scientists who are on the front lines of fighting big diseases like cancer deserve the best. I think in many ways, Silicon Valley had kind of ignored pathology, and yet it's so central to everything that we do in medicine. So, you know, that's just a little bit about why we started the company. But at the end of the day, you know, it was my co-founders and I who saw this problem, saw that there was a better way of doing this, and just started building. And we put something out there that we didn't know what was going to happen. We put it out there as some free software. It's not free today, sorry. We put it out there as free software. And we got a lot of mostly scientists and some pathologists who were using it. And it kind of just started taking off, but we always had this vision that this was the kind of technology that was really needed in diagnostic settings to impact real patients. And so this is kind of a big milestone in our mission and in that journey towards our vision. But it's also, it feels so early days right now. I mean, digital pathology is nearly universally adopted in kind of research settings. It is still early days, but growing very fast in diagnostic settings. And we have, you know, this market is going to grow by 10x over the next 5 years if we're going to go towards 100% adoption of digital pathology. And so there's, you know, it kind of feels like the journey is just beginning.
I can understand that. The last time you were on the podcast, which was episode 130, if anybody wants to go back and listen to that one. Now, we talked about Concentric for research and Concentric DX. Yeah. And this clearance is for Concentric AP DX. Yeah. Is that something different?
Yeah. So our Concentric for research product is used by academic medical centers and life sciences organizations, contract research organizations, big pharma companies, emerging biotech companies, some government organizations to manage digital biorepositories, do their research, bring image analysis to those research settings, et cetera. And Concentric for Research has been on the market for a number of years. And, you know, Concentric APDX is our FDA 510K cleared solution. And, you know, this is ultimately kind of like a naming labeling thing. And but the products that our product for diagnostic use in the US is and will be called Concentric APDX, AP for anatomic pathology. The DX designator indicating it's cleared for diagnostic use.
Okay. So it's more of a branding thing for different regions, I guess?
In a sense.
This is the People of Pathology podcast with our guest, David West. We'll be right back.
LabVine is an interactive online learning platform where laboratory professionals learn, develop, and discover by sharing knowledge and building on each other's experience. The platform provides global access to internationally accredited laboratory-specific courses and other resources developed by lab specialists, like us, for the laboratory industry. LabVine is free to sign up, and you can use the link in the show notes to get started.
In the Digital Pathology Club, Dr. Alexandra Zhuroff passionately delves into the captivating world of pathology innovation. You can begin the extraordinary journey of exploring groundbreaking advancements and unlocking the science behind
this transformative field with a club membership. As a member of this exclusive club, you'll enjoy an array of fresh resources delivered to your fingertips every month. Imagine being at the forefront of the latest research, emerging trends, and cutting-edge technologies. You can join this vibrant community by following the link in the show notes. And now for the rest of my conversation with David West on the People of Pathology podcast. So with every new FDA clearance, whether it's PROSHA or anyone else, I feel like that's one step closer to the widespread digital pathology adoption, like you were talking about earlier. What do you think about that?
I could not agree more. When, you know, a lot of times people, I get to talk to a lot of people from outside the industry, whether that's investors or new talent that's coming in to our engineering team. And people always ask, gee, that's kind of crazy. Why is pathology just going digital now when, you know, other parts of healthcare have been digital for decades? And
yeah.
And I think that there's a lot of reasons why this is just happening right now. There are big macro tailwinds like store and compute requirements, what the cloud has enabled. We've kind of have Moore's Law on our side. These are huge images, huge amounts of data that are unique needs for pathology. There's also this regulatory aspect that it's easy to forget. This technology was not ready for diagnostic use until the first scanner was approved by the FDA in 2017. And we kind of talked about this at the top. Once the first device is kind of the hardest one for a company to get cleared or approved. But once it does, it allows a whole ecosystem to build around that. Devices that can kind of benchmark against that first predicate device. And so there's this kind of snowballing of technology, cleared technology that can happen. And in healthcare, sometimes, you know, it still takes time for things to happen. It's been like 5 or so years since the first regulatory clearance of this technology in 2017 from Philips. But it is happening, and it's happening at a faster and faster rate. We're seeing more scanners cleared. We're seeing more viewing software solutions cleared, like Concentric APDX. And I think what we're in the very, very early days of, that we're going to see over the next 5 years, is many, many AI applications cleared for diagnostic use in the US and Europe and globally. And that gets me really excited. I think we're still in the early days of this technology, but it has a sort of compounding effect. And you can imagine, if you're a laboratory, you're thinking about going digital. When you have just one solution that you can choose from, one scan or one software, or maybe no AI applications like there were a few years ago, maybe the ROI for digital pathology doesn't quite compute. But as there's more options available, there's more diversity in the technology ecosystem. There's more investment that comes into the space. There's been something like, what is it, $750 million brought into digital pathology and venture capital over the last few years. Hundreds of millions of dollars in investment that have gone across a number of companies, and we're lucky to be kind of one of those companies that have, you know, we brought in $80 million over the last few years to go build this technology and get it to customers. And you know, we're proud to be kind of one part of that growing ecosystem that's emerging. I think at the end of the day, the customers, the pathologists, the laboratories, this market benefits from having more options. And for us as a company, we've really valued an open platform strategy. We've been very principled in that from day one. And there's been a lot of temptations to say, hey, you know, let's just lock into one scanner partner or one image analysis kind of portfolio. And we've said, no, we think openness really matters. We think openness matters for exactly this reason. There will only be more and more scanners that come onto the market that get cleared for diagnostic use, and only more and more applications from more vendors, more academic medical centers, more pharma companies that are bringing computational pathology companion diagnostics to market. Like, we're at the early days of this, and it's going to be a big flourishing ecosystem if this space is going to be successful. So I think that this is kind of one step towards a future of digital pathology that's rich, that's flourishing, where customers have lots of options, where the ROI is abundantly clear for 100% of customers.
Yeah, I like that. And that's the exciting part too, because this is really only the beginning of this stuff, and it's going to expand so rapidly, and there'll be so many more options and probably things we'd never even thought of, especially when it comes to AI.
Yeah. It's some really exciting stuff. And we have the fortune of working with some amazing AI partners, of having some amazing internal AI innovation, and also having a sort of front row seat to the innovation that comes out of life sciences. And that's something where, you know, I consider myself really fortunate, because a lot of the stuff that happens in these very innovative, you know, pharma companies, biotech companies, and their partners, academic medical centers, you don't always hear about it until it's really ready. And I think that the ecosystem of novel biomarkers that is emerging, that are becoming more diagnostically viable or clinically viable, that are being developed alongside portfolios of very compelling precision medicine therapies, targeted therapies, it's really, really cool stuff. I think the next 5 years, pathology is poised to play a bigger and bigger role in precision medicine and in data-driven medicine.
Yeah, absolutely. I could not agree more with that. I'm curious, what do you think about how this is going to affect reimbursement? Because this is one of the big hurdles in digital pathology adoption.
Yeah.
It's been some progress, but it's mostly a lack of reimbursement for this stuff. Do you think this kind of 510K clearance will have implications for reimbursement?
You know, regulatory and reimbursement they're separate things, for better or worse. Mm-hmm. But I think that this is, you know, part of a broader trend for new technologies in this market, some of which will be reimbursable. Now, these tracking codes, CPT codes for digital pathology, and that's for kind of primary diagnostic, your routine diagnostic use of digital pathology. We'll see how those pan out. I'm very biased, but I think that it would make a lot of sense for, you know, some delta between glass and microscope review versus digital review. I think digital is better for patients. It's better for laboratories. And a lot of early adopters of this technology have reaped the financial benefits of digital pathology without reimbursement, by driving laboratory growth, by bringing more laboratory efficiency, by bringing in new consults business, by using some quantitative, say, IHC that's possible with digital pathology. And that brings me to my sort of the second point is, you know, there's the question of reimbursement for digital pathology itself, image-based pathology versus glass-based pathology. But then I think what's very obvious is that there's these image-based biomarkers that will be reimbursed, and they may be reimbursed at rates more akin to certain molecular tests, sort of high margin type tests. I think those are going to come over the next 5 years. So there's reimbursement for digital pathology itself, and there's reimbursement for the things that require digital pathology in the first place. And when I talk to laboratories today, many of them are saying, I need to invest in digital pathology now, because I don't want, say, my competitor to go eat my lunch when I get caught flat-footed 18 months from now, when they're able to reap the benefits of reimbursement on either digital pathology, direct image-based versus glass-based pathology, or on some image-based test.
Okay, I guess I never thought of it that way, but that makes a lot of sense. Okay, all right. The last thing I want to ask you: so there, when this clearance was announced, there was a press release from PROSHA, and in it, you're quoted as saying This regulatory milestone reflects our tireless commitment to our mission of perfecting cancer diagnosis. So the number of new cancer cases is expected to rise dramatically in the coming years. We've heard a lot of predictions about this. What are your thoughts on then how the mission that you mentioned will become even more vital?
You know, pathology is sort of fighting a war on two fronts. And one is really a defensive battle, which is we don't have enough pathologists to keep up with demand. And as a company that has a presence both in the US and Europe and growing globally, we've seen how this has impacted geographies outside of the US. We're a US-based company, but we have a lot of visibility into, you know, we saw digital pathology adoption start in like the Nordics, where say patients in the north of Sweden or Norway need access to great diagnostic care. And, you know, there's digital pathology can help with the sort of geographic challenges and balancing out the workforce and mapping that to the patient population that needed great pathology expertise. And you've seen this kind of roll over Europe. You've seen this happen in the UK. 3% of UK labs have adequate staff to meet demand. That's NHS labs have adequate staff to meet demand. As of a study done by the Royal College of Pathologists a few years ago, that sparked aggressive investments in the NHS in digital pathology. We're seeing this in, you know, in Spain, in France, in Italy, in Germany, all across Europe. We've seen how the workforce shortage of pathologists, as that kind of trend line moves down, and, you know, cancer rates aren't slowing down at all. Lab volumes aren't slowing down. That delta requires technology to you know, address that delta. And now we're seeing that happen in the US. I think it's becoming of increasing importance for the US labs that are feeling the pinch trying to attract new pathologists. We've kind of seen this story play out before, and US has always been a very strong ecosystem for pathology expertise. There's been a lot of pathologists in the US. It's a lot of subspecialty expertise in the US. We're fortunate to have some amazing academic medical centers, leading institutions that pump out great pathology talent. But we're really starting to feel the pinch here. And I talk to laboratory leaders all the time. And what CEOs and COOs and medical directors are saying is that we really struggle to, in the competition for pathology talent, that's only going to get more challenging. So that's the defensive part of this. And then there's the offensive part of this. Pathology has a bigger role to play in precision medicine. Not only is our volumes increasing, but case complexity is increasing. We're expecting pathologists to do more with less. And this is a great thing for patients, right? This is a great thing for pathology. It's a great thing for medicine. We are developing what are essentially cures, but cures for maybe only certain patients. Targeted therapies put a bigger burden on pathology, and it requires that pathologists consider more variables, perhaps have to run more tests, but also have to do this in a, you know, clinically reasonable and kind of economically efficient way. You can't just run every test on every patient, and pathologists are at the center of deciding, you know, what tests should we run? Should this patient be on, say, a novel PD-L1 therapy? And I think that's a really cool thing, but it also requires that we have the technology to keep up with this increasing case complexity.
Okay. I love it. That's going to make systems like Concentric, I think, even more important. So that's going to be a very interesting future. And like I said, this is an exciting time, and we're going to watch this field expand. So, David, this has been a super interesting conversation. Very exciting. David West, thank you very much for being here once
again. Dennis, thank you. Always a pleasure.
If you're looking for another episode of the People of Pathology podcast to check out after this one, here's a clip from the first time David was on the podcast.
The value of going digital is not just about moving from microscope to monitor. It's what you can do with this data. And the promise of precision medicine lies in that, in how computers and people and this data can come together. And The reality is, there have been really exciting developments in the pathology AI space, and yet we are very early in that trend. We expect to see decades of innovation in applications enabled by deep learning being applied to this new kind of data medium. And we expect those applications to be simple at first, but over time to perhaps be multimodal in nature, combining molecular information with image information, maybe with radiology, et cetera.
You can hear more from David West, including the history of PROSHA, in episode 130. All right, great big thanks to David West. The FDA clearance for Concentric APDX marks a pivotal moment for PROSHA. This achievement aligns with the company's vision to impact patients directly through innovative technology. The journey to obtaining the 510K clearance involved years of hard work and dedication from PROSHA's team. With an expected rise in cancer cases, advanced diagnostic tools like Concentric APDX are becoming increasingly vital. Pathology's role in precision medicine is crucial. This FDA clearance, and others like it, help to position pathology at the forefront of providing innovative solutions to address the growing complexity and volume of cases in the field. While the 510K clearance for Concentric APDX is a significant milestone for PROSHA, it's also important for pathology as a whole. Every new scanner, software, or AI tool that receives FDA clearance is another step toward widespread adoption of digital pathology. David highlighted the journey PROSHA undertook to obtain FDA clearance for Concentric APDX. It involved clinical studies and financial investment to meet stringent regulatory requirements. The question becomes, is it all worth it? For David, it seems the answer is yes. You heard him talk about his why, his reason for doing this. I'm sure many of us can relate to that. I certainly can. Pathology intersects with many other medical specialties. Our role is vital in cancer care. FDA clearance like this helps pave the way for us to impact even more patients. And that's why we're all here, isn't it? You can find links in the show notes to everything that we talked about today. Don't forget you can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at People of Path, or just connect with me on LinkedIn. Thanks for continuing to share the show with others. Together, let's inspire the next generation of pathologists and laboratory professionals. This show is a member of Health Podcast Network, which connects listeners with conversations and stories about health, care, and well-being. You can find a link in the show notes of Health Podcast Network. And while you're there, check out some of their other interesting podcasts. Thanks for listening. I'm Dennis Strank, and I'll talk to you next time on the People of Pathology podcast.